Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. You know, sometimes the rhythm guitar and the music is just so good. It's just an air guitar moment here in our studios, if you know what I mean. Can you crank that up a little bit more? Okay. I should know this. I hear this on Christian music stations all the time. Who's the artist on that? Yeah? Okay. Okay, I stumped the producer. Aaron doesn't know any either. Anyway, hey, it's Friday. Welcome to it. This is Faith Radio, and thank you for being here. I'm Austin Hill, and I'm here weekday morning 6 till 8, where we seek to connect faith to life. Still to come after the news at 7 o'clock on Friday mornings, typically a little after 7, we check in with our great friend Bill Arnold. He is a co-host of Real Recovery, and he'll join us. Real Recovery, of course, is Sunday evenings, 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network, where they talk about some very serious issues pertaining to addiction and recovery and such. So that's coming up after the news at 7 o'clock. Also, just about an hour from now, we'll talk about a Christian perspective, a biblical worldview, if you will, when considering environmental concerns. Okay, so environmentalism and concerns about constraining human activity so as to let plant and animal life flourish. That is all around us every day. I mean, it pervades our thinking. Even today, I mean, several of my colleagues here in the studio, they've said today, you know, it just feels like fall yesterday. Wow, yesterday it felt like summer. What a wild shift, a wild swing in the weather and the climate. And even though it's not been articulated, a lot of people, and it's just, as I said, it's endemic in our culture. We immediately consider those kinds of things and say, well, maybe it's global warming. Is it really, though? We'll check in with an expert, a scholar on the issue coming up at about 7:35 this morning. So stand by for that. Kids are back in school. If you are a parent, you're a grandparent, you perhaps work with young people in your church, you know this to be the case, whether it's elementary, junior high, high school, or even young adults in college and university life. They are back in classes, generally speaking, at this point in the year. Let's talk about drugs. Let's have a sobering and serious and candid conversation about drugs, shall we? I'd like to think that the school officials at my son's high school, for example, can keep drugs out of the school. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. I mean, government officials can't keep drugs out of prisons. Why would I necessarily think that drugs would not be at my son's school? Does my son have the strength of character to make good choices and stay clear of drugs? Joining us to talk about this, a man who has lived some harrowing and painful experiences. He's also had a career that has spanned many years of service, helping others. His name is Dennis Mansfield, who was very active in the pro-family movement back in the 1990s and last decade. He has operated recovery and drug treatment centers over the years. And yet he lost one of his own children to drug addiction. His latest book from the Simon & Schuster label, Beautiful Nate, a story, a memoir about his son, Nate Mansfield. Dennis Mansfield, I should say, welcome back to our program. It's good to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Austin, it's an honor to be with you this morning. And this is indeed a sobering topic, but it doesn't have to be in the last analysis.
Yeah, well, let's talk about your background just briefly. I sort of gave a thumbnail sketch, but you were involved in national ministries that were advocating for pro-family public policy all over the country, and yet there was a problem under your own roof. Tell us about that.
There was, Austin. When I was 36 years old, I had the opportunity of joining Dr. James Dobson and Focus on the Family. And I worked in association with them, starting up one of their family policy councils. I moved from Los Angeles area up to Idaho, where I have resided for the last 23 years. During that 10 years that I committed to being in the ministry, I took a little 10-year-old boy and a little 6-year-old girl from Southern California and brought them up to the cold climes of Idaho and taught them how to cross-country ski and how to follow Jesus. And it was the kind of idea that I was leaving California and all the difficult times of Southern California in order to live a life of joy, peace, and what I thought would be a bit of a paradise. Certainly Idaho is a great state, just like many of the other states. But what I realized was that you can never outrun an attitude. You can never outrun drug addiction. You can never outrun your fears. And that was very difficult. After 10 years of being in the ministry, I decided to run for United States Congress. My oldest son was arrested roughly 4 days before the election on possession of drug paraphernalia. I knew nothing.
You discovered your son's drug addiction kind of in the headlines, in an essence, or at least when you got the call saying, my son is, your son's in jail for drug possession. That's how you learned about your son's drug usage.
Let me just tell you, whenever anybody asks you if your child's name is, and they use all three names, it's a bad day at Black Rock.
Yeah.
I had no idea. You know, Nathan Dennis Mansfield, I said, yes, and I was a reporter. And that opened up an unbelievable next 10 years of my life.
Hmm. Dennis Mansfield, his book is called Beautiful Nate, a memoir written about his son, Nate Mansfield. Dennis is on our guest line. You can find the book, by the way, at beautifulnate.com. Your son eventually died of drug overdoses, I understand it, at age 27.
Yeah, it was very strange. And difficult end to my son's life in that after having gone to jail and gone to prison, been addicted to the most harsh drugs you could ever even imagine, becoming a heroin addict. This little boy that memorized a lot of verses, becoming a heroin addict, Oxycontin, a number of other things.
Mm-hmm.
Nate actually was on the mend, and he had what's called an accidental death by virtue of the fact that he hurt his back, and when the doctors prescribed the things that he needed in order to help with his back, it was such a small amount, the toxicological report came back, that said that the trace amount, though very small, was still, for an addict, enough to kill him. He died of a heart attack in his sleep at age 27, and my life broke.
I can well imagine, and but I can only imagine. That's a pain that probably every parent, myself included, hopes to never have to face. Dennis Mansfield, his book is called Beautiful Nate. He lost one of his own sons, his eldest son, to drug problems back several years ago. Dennis, stand by. When we come back, I want you to give us some wisdom, things that we need to be looking for as parents, as adult mentors, steps that we can take to keep our kids away from the drugs. Stand by. We'll continue in just moments. Dennis Mansfield, isn't that amazing? Go from memorizing Bible verses in Awana classes to becoming a heroin addict. Folks, if this can happen in the Mansfield household, it can happen to any of us. Let's come out of denial and face the fact, shall we? We'll continue with Dennis Mansfield in a moment. 6:45, you're listening to Faith Radio. I'm Austin Hill. Morning at 6:47 on listener-supported Faith Radio. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I'm Austin Hill, weekday morning, 6 till 8. This is where we seek to be informative and challenging, hopeful and helpful as you get your day started. Dennis Mansfield is my guest. He's back with us again. His book, Beautiful Nate, chronicles and memorializes the life of his son, Nate Mansfield, a gentleman who lost his life at age 27. Dennis Mansfield, for the parents who's hearing your story and saying, well, that I don't think this is happening with my kid. I don't believe there's drug problems, but wow, could there be drug problems? Where do you start? Where do you advise parents to start in terms of not being paranoid, but being thoughtful and being proactive as far as trying to keep our kids away from this stuff?
Austin, before we went to the break, you made a comment that I thought was very profound. you said that we need to stop living in denial.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I have talked with parents over the last 5.5 years since Nate passed away was that when we live in denial, we live in two sort of neighborhoods of denial. And oftentimes we don't even know it. One is being child-centered, and the other is being fear-based. Most of us as evangelicals, as Roman Catholics, as people of faith who love God and love Christ and live in Him, believe that somehow our child, that sweet little girl, that young man, are going to move through life unscathed. And yet, when those children go off to school, whether it's to middle school, high school, or college, the world is there to steal, kill, and destroy because it is rooted, it is owned by the enemy of our souls. And if he's the enemy of our souls, he's the enemy of their souls. Mm-hmm. So first thing is getting out of denial. Second thing is learning to not just be a student of your child when he or she is good, but learning to see the subtle changes when they are bad. And that you go, wait a minute, my son is just wonderful. Listen, the reality is he was born in sin. He has to need a Savior, not you, by the way.
Right.
And in learning to know who that Savior is, the change happens through self-discovery. The Holy Spirit woos that child. But until then, your job isn't to be their Savior. And I want your audience to listen to me on this. Their job is to be a parent that points to the Savior. You go, oh, I know that. I know that. I put my children in this organization, that organization. As soon as you as the parent begin to see any subtle changes in that child, you must, A, not be fearful, and B, not be child-centered.
And Dennis, yeah, you're hitting on something very important. Dennis Mansfield, author of Beautiful Nates, a memoir about his son. He's on the guest line. In your book, you outline it was really a roller coaster ride, obviously, for you and your wife and your other kids. But you outline some of the behavioral shifts that you saw going on in Nate's life. What sort of behavioral shifts do we need to be looking for, in your estimation, that should suggest to us there might be a problem? Again, I don't want to be fear-based. I want to stay away from that, as you so eloquently pointed
out.
We want to be child-centered. We're focusing on our kids. What are we looking for?
We're looking for erratic behavior. And it isn't just that 13, 14-year-old reactive adolescent behavior. I'm talking about a behavior that hides, a behavior that muffles the phone, a behavior that closes the door to the bedroom. Any mom or dad out there that thinks their child has the right to a closed door in their bedroom is a fool. And I know that's a harsh thing to say, but they're fooling themselves. If you're not, for teenagers, sweeping their room when they're off at school, if you're not looking in the toes of their shoes, if you're not examining the back areas of their closet, you're not helping your child. You go, well, Dennis, that sounds like it's fear-based. No, it isn't. I'll tell you what fear-based is. Fear-based is being afraid to do that,
mm-hmm.
being afraid to be a soldier in the Lord's army, being afraid to stand against the enemy, because you're not against your child. You're for your child. But let me tell you what, that child doesn't even know and doesn't even have the capacity to defend himself or herself against the things that he or she thinks this is so cool. If you suddenly start seeing your child develop a new set of friends, beware.
Mm.
Beware. If you don't know your child's friends, trust me, they don't want to know you.
Very interesting. Dennis Mansfield, his book is called Beautiful Nate. You can find it at beautifulnate.com. It's a memoir about the son, his eldest son, the son that he lost to drug addiction. He's got a message for those of us who are parenting and is cautioning us, encouraging us to not let this happen under our own roof. Dennis, thanks for what you do. It's so good to hear your voice again. Appreciate you being with us. And, you know, the school year's just beginning. We'll be back in touch as the school year progresses. I look forward to talking to you again very, very soon.
Thank you. Be hope-filled.
I'm with you on that, brother. Thank you very much, and appreciate that. It's now 6:52. You're listening to Faith Radio. I'm Austin Hill here weekday morning, 6 till 8. Still to come, speaking of being hope-filled, Let's check in with Susie Larson and her program, Live the Promise. We'll find out what's coming up on the Friday edition of her show in just a moment. Stay with us. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.